Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Student Architect Podcast. In this episode, we'll be exploring the topic of arcology, an idea, movement, and culture of people looking to create highly dense architecture that works to reduce the human environmental footprint in a radical way. More specifically, we'll be looking into the experimental town of Arcosanti, an attempt at a prototype arcology integrating the design of architecture with respect to ecology. This experimental town and its citizens shows a lot about how architecture can transform not only the environment, but the behaviors and thinking of people interacting with these radical spaces. Buckle up for this one, folks. There is a lot to cover and a lot to speculate on. Before we get into it, of course, I gotta ask if you hit that subscribe button yet. Student Architect is all about engaging with those of us interested in architecture. And if you've taken the time to watch this video or listen to our growing library of podcasts, I would highly encourage you to subscribe and keep up with us. Humans have built a lot over the years. Therefore, Student Architect will never run out of things to look into and share. Thank you again for taking the time to be with us, and let's get into today's topic. What exactly is arcology? Arcology is a combination of two words, a portmanteau of the words architecture and ecology. Architecture, dealing with the design of space, the interactions of humans in context to our built environment, and ecology, a branch of biology concerning the spatial and temporal patterns of the distribution and abundance of organisms, including the causes and consequences. What's funny about the definitions for both words is that they can be interpreted as the same. Architecture can definitely be defined as the spatial and temporal patterns of the distribution and abundance of organisms, including the causes and consequences. In this instance, the organisms typically referring to humans, and of course spatial and temporal characteristics being considered in various degrees. Architecture and ecology, while certainly being two different branches of work and study, have a lot in common, and I'm sure you'll find even more overlap as we progress. What is arcology doing in our world? The real answer currently is, well, not much that we can see. Before the term arcology was coined, many architects had already proposed large-scale projects that dealt with similar characteristics of arcology. Let's go through a few. Le Corbusier's Plan Voisin, or however you pronounce it. While the term arcology was coined by architect Paolo Soleri over 50 years ago, the principles of arcology were in existence long before Soleri's time. Le Corbusier, an architectural wizard of his time, revealed his Plan Voisin in 1925. His plan revolved around raising several square miles of Paris, including neighborhoods such as the Marais, in order to implement his efficient grid system and radically large glass towers, and boy do I mean radically large. These 60-story skyscrapers had giant green spaces, office buildings, living spaces, and much more within each tower. With most of these super blocks being filled with greenery, the city of Paris would look almost nothing like a typical urban city of today. Corbusier's plan can be placed within the label of arcology based on three key factors. It's large scale, it's multi-use structures, and an emphasis on green space and reducing emissions, and a focus on quality of life while living in a highly dense environment. It's funny to find instances such as these. While we may think of arcology as being a more contemporary concept, history shows us how new ideas to us aren't new to those who have lived before us. So what's a contemporary example of arcology? For that, we'll take a road trip down to the beautiful state of Arizona. Arcosanti. You can see where part of that name comes from. Arcosanti is described as a projected experimental town, The project began construction in 1970 to demonstrate how urban conditions could be improved while minimizing the impact on the earth. They did so by constructing one big urban concrete landscape with giant multi-use structures and outdoor spaces. Following the pattern, the spaces are meant to sustain a highly dense population. The forms vary in Arcos Anti, unlike Corbusier's plan, but they try to accomplish similar objectives. Arcos Anti, being in the desert of Arizona, can rely steadily on the sun for its source of power and nutrient delivery for sustaining farms. By using several methods of sustainable urban farming, such as collecting rainwater and using water at different grades, gray water for example, Arcos Anti has been able to be sustainable for its community members. So what's this strange feeling about arcology? While doing research into arcology and the various examples, I found plenty of people writing and commenting about how these projects appeared cult-like or authoritarian, and I can say from my own experience, I certainly had similar feelings. I can point to a few reasons as to why. First was the focus on immediate density. One of the key characteristics and key strategic point of arcology is the focus of minimizing the human footprint on the earth. To do so efficiently, these projects require an efficient use of land. This can only be done effectively by designing structures that allow for immense levels of population density. We are familiar with plenty of areas with insane amount of density in cities like Tokyo or New York City. But what makes these places different to places like Arcos Anti is how these areas grew over time. The city of LA wasn't constructed via a master plan solely focused on increasing density instantly. Rather, it took an organic approach like any other town in history by starting off with a very small population that slowly grew through its economic, geographic, and social demands. When it comes to arcology, and specifically Arcos Anti, the urban landscape is predetermined. While the architects and designers can go through various ways of designing spaces for various functions over long spans of time, the need for instant density makes these places appear desolate and certain areas appear abandoned due to their lack of use. It's not easy to design a building, let alone an entire urban infrastructure. And while the people pushing the project along, those volunteering to build it, and some outsiders eager to try a different lifestyle, may find a place like Arcos Anti desirable. The challenge of keeping these places continuously populated is rather high. The other strange feeling about arcology is how these projects can feel very authoritarian. Some can argue many cities certainly feel like authoritarian districts due to some of their living standards and human rights issues. But projects of arcology, with their high level of planning, emphasis on organizing large communities, and instilling a sense of a new citizenship, these environments can feel as though they were built for a specific way of living with people who think very similarly and engage in events or spaces where lots of scenarios and events could have been predetermined and certainly encouraged. That being said, there are lots of people who lived in or visited Arcos Anti and love every minute of it. Rather, I point out these thoughts to demonstrate how a perfectly positive project focused on an amicable goal can be seen by others as strange or even a bit worrisome. At the end of the day, architects can only push so much onto our environment. What makes architecture extremely interesting is actually how people tend to use their environments differently than what was planned. Arcology is an interesting concept, no doubt. Architecture in general has plenty of advocates who have been pushing sustainability and green in our towns and cities for decades now. However, while these architects push for retrofitting existing structures or finding sustainable materials for new structures, arcology goes a large stride beyond in organizing and designing these incredibly large infrastructures in one project or one goal. Thank you for listening to the Student Architect Podcast. If you've listened this far, I would highly, highly encourage you to share this episode with someone you think would easily find it as interesting. Please be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, or wherever you found us. Keep in mind, we do have a LinkedIn page, Instagram, Facebook page, if you want to give us a follow on any of those. something really interesting that just came up. Somebody on LinkedIn was actually able to say that they were a student of a student architect, which I thought was pretty funny, kind of encouraging. You're definitely able to join our community by stating that you're a student of student architect. I certainly am. I hope you found this episode interesting. Thanks again for listening the whole way through. I hope to see you on the next episode of Student Architect. Bye-bye.